Well, hello there and welcome to another thrilling episode of the History Rocks podcast. I want to start today's episode by giving a big shout out to a college that's kind of close to my heart, really. I do miss you all. I'm saying hello to Pendleton Sixth Form College down in Salford. I salute you. I wish you all the best, the very best for your forthcoming exams. I know you're listening in and I know your tutors down there are talking about me. So honestly, very best of luck to you for your exams this summer. I'm going to start with a couple of really cheesy Henry VIII jokes because you know I love them. Couple here. Which of Henry's wives like to play Skittles and bowling? Oh, God. I know. Listen, there's worse. Why did Henry VIII have so many wives? Because he liked to chop and change. Oh, it's bad, I know, but you'll love it. Send me any questions, any feedback, anything you'd like me to cover to hello@historyrocks.co.uk, or you can tweet me at myhistoryrocks. I've had a few emails in already, actually, and I'm hoping that some of today's session will begin to answer your questions. So thank you to those who have already emailed in. I've had a lot of requests to cover some of the stuff to do with interpretations. So today's episode is going to be focusing on the interpretations. It's going to be focused on paper one. And we're going to, in particular, focus on how to spot an opinion. Okay, so how to spot an opinion. So to recap, if you are doing AQA, although I guess actually there are extracts in some of the other exams for the other exam boards, so it might be helpful there. But if you are doing AQA, paper one is split into two halves. Section A in this instance is going to be focused upon a question in relation to three historians' extracts, and section B is going to be answering two out of three essay questions. You should spend 60 minutes on section A, like you would do actually with section A with paper two. So 60 minutes on section A. And that means then when you break it down, you've got 5 minutes reading the extract, 15 minutes writing, 5 minutes reading, 15 minutes writing, and so on and so on. All right. No need for any introduction or conclusion here, of course. But let's really break this down and start with what it is you've got to do. What is it you're looking out for when you're reading those extracts? What is the difference between an opinion and a fact? Well, the first thing we need to say is when you get one of these exam questions on section A, it is asking you a question, all right? Let's not forget that. It's asking you a question. So they always start the same. It's going to start something like using your understanding of the historical context, assess how convincing the arguments in these three extracts are in relation to, and then something after that. So the in relation to is your signpost. That's the thing that's telling you there is a question now, there's a topic which you need to focus upon when you're evaluating these extracts. Okay, it's don't forget the bit that follows in relation to. In fact, when you get in the exam, underline it really clearly so you can see it throughout. And then you've got to keep going back to that. You've got to keep evaluating the extracts in relation to that part of the question. So to give you an example, we've got using your understanding in historical context, assess how convincing the arguments in these three extracts are in relation to the impact of Soviet industrial policy between 1921 and 41. So the impact of Soviet industrial policy between 1921 and 1941. This was a question on component 1H that was taken last June the 9th, 2017. So we've got a real question now, a real question. So that's the thing we've got to keep going back to, Soviet industrial policy. Now, if you think about questions to do with Soviet industrial policy, really, you would expect the extracts to talk about, you know, maybe what the aims were, whether they were successful or not. You know, that's it, really. When you look at economic history, it's largely those sort of questions, isn't it? Whether the policies worked, whether they met their aims, whether it was successful or not. So I would have that in my head before I even look at the extracts, because it's likely that the extracts are going to center around those issues. If the question was like in relation to the effectiveness of Wolsey as chief minister, then I'd expect the extracts to be debating to some extent how effective or not Wolsey was as a chief minister to Henry VIII. All right. Now, some questions, though, will be quite broad, so they're not as leading as that one. So this one's asking about the, you know, impact or success of industrial policy or the effectiveness of Wolsey. It could just simply say, you know, assess these three extracts in relation to Soviet industrial policy or Wolsey as chief minister, you know. So sometimes they're very directed questions, sometimes they're quite open. So be prepared, but think about the kind of contents that each of the extracts are going to have on the back of it. All right, so we've got the question, all right. You know, we've got the question, we've got an idea of what the extracts are going to be looking at, right? So the first thing you need to be looking for then is what is an opinion and what is a fact in the extract, yeah? Now, a lot of students last year lost marks because their evaluation of the extracts just turned into whether certain facts in the extracts were true or not. That's not what the question is asking you, all right? You are not here to prove or disprove the facts within the extracts. It should not be a line-by-line evaluation of what the extract says. Not at all. So the very first thing you need to do is read the whole extract before you even put pen to paper, right? You need to read the whole thing and be clear, be absolutely clear that you know what that extract is arguing. Because what that extract is arguing could be at the start of the extract, it could be in the middle of the extract, it could be right in the final sentence. Don't think that the first line of this extract is the opinion that the extract is taking. It could be buried somewhere within it. So, okay, how do we find it then? How do we find this opinion? Well, first of all, we've got to understand what is the difference between a fact and opinion, okay? A fact is something that can be proven, all right? You can prove it one way or another. It is a fact. The sun is hot. It is a fact, right? There's no disputing that. We can prove it. Yeah, it's hot. Prove, no, it's not hot. We can use science to detect that, actually, can't we? If it's an opinion, it's a personal view of that historian. It's a personal opinion of that historian. It's not objective. You might disagree with what they're saying, but it's not something that you can prove to be right or wrong, right? So, for instance, I'm going to say Nicki Minaj between 2011 and 2016 was nominated for 10 Grammy Awards. Fact. Nicki Minaj is the finest female rapper of 2016. Opinion. All right. I can prove whether she's been nominated for those Grammys or not quite easily. But, you know, she's the finest rapper. I don't know. That's a lot. That's an opinion. And we're going to have to debate that and look at the evidence out there to see if I can persuade you one way or another. So think of it this way, you know, an opinion is trying to persuade you of something. Yeah, it's subjective. It's not something that you can just say it's right or wrong. You know, it's different in that sense then to a fact. So what I would say is when you're reading the extracts, look for words that suggest they are taking an opinion. Sometimes they use particular words in the sentence formation that gives a sense that they're making a judgment on something. So words such as something was a success, or it's flawed, or something was crucial, or it was impressive, it was too ambitious, it was effective. All right, look for other signposts within the extract. Sometimes the historian will say something like, arguably, right? That's a clear signpost that what is to follow is going to be their opinion. Do sometimes they drop in the words convincing or persuasive? or something like that within there. That could then give you an indication that what's about to follow is their opinion. So look, when you're reading this extract, look for when the historian is trying to convince you. They're trying to persuade you to believe something, okay? They're trying to do that. So for instance, okay, I'm looking again at this 2017 example from Tsarist and Communist Russia, 1H, all right? To give you an idea, I've got the first line of this extract that says Stalin's industrialization produced impressive achievements at the expense of the population. Now that word impressive achievements seems to suggest that they're making an opinion on it, that his industrialization policy was really effective. It was really good. All right. Equally, there's a bit later on, it says, the economy was plagued by problems. All right, it was plagued by problems. So again, they're casting a judgment. So they're saying, yes, it had some really impressive achievements, but it was beset with problems throughout. Okay, but notice there was about 7 or 8 lines in between that note on impressive and that bit on plagued. So sometimes the opinion doesn't come all at once. Sometimes it will be scattered throughout the extract as well, and you have to look for it. But note, there's some facts in here. It says things like managers had enormous difficulties mastering new modern technology. The expanding labor force seemed ill-trained for modern equipment. The economy remained unstable. Output per worker fell. The growth in overall output was mainly due to vast expansion of the labor force. All of those things we can test. All of that we've just said above are facts. We can test those. We can see whether that's true. We can see if there was an output, you know, if output per worker fell. We can test that. All right. But when it comes to things being impressive or things being plagued by problems, then that's clearly an opinion. So, okay, let's put you to the test. Let's see if you can find out where this opinion and where this fact is. So I'm going to read a couple of little snippets from extract C of the same paper. Let's see if you can find it. So it starts, new resources were created, but at the same time, existing resources were destroyed. All resources were used with less efficiency than before 1928. There were underutilized capacity, lost output and wasted investment. Okay, next part. The drive to industrialization tried to do much too fast. Economic plans were overambitious, reflecting the triumph of political decrees over economic considerations. Okay, have you got it? Which one was a fact and which one was opinion out of those two statements that I read you? Do you know? Well, of course, the second one was the opinion. The drive to industrialization tried to do too much too fast. That's clearly an opinion of this historian. We can, you know, we can disagree with it. All right. We can have a look and see what evidence there is out there to try and persuade or argue against it. But it's not a fact. Right. Those are not facts. Yeah. Economic plans were overambitious. It's not a fact. Right, there might be certain economic plans that weren't, and you know, you can have a look into that, but that's an opinion, it's not a fact. So, okay, you then will be best really to, in your revision and your revision plans, look for examples of extracts within your textbook, right? Try and identify where there is an opinion, where there is a fact. Ask your tutor, ask your teacher, look, can you just check this? Have I picked out the right bits here? Are those things facts and are those things opinions? And the more practice you get, the better at this you'll be. Remember too, opinions are not always really obvious. They're not literal. It's in the subtext of the extract. It's looking at the choice of words and the things that they're emphasizing that can give away whether something is an opinion or a fact. You're going to need this skill too when you get to the coursework as well, because when you're looking at two major historians in your coursework piece, you're going to be using exactly the same skill in looking at their interpretations and whether they're convincing or not. So you're going to have to identify where their opinions are in those pieces that you're looking at. So, all right, The other thing I just want to warn you against, right? Final thing I want to warn you against is be careful where certain extracts sometimes describe the opinions of other historians, but then go on to dismiss them, all right? Sometimes this has happened in some of the extracts that I've seen. It started off with something like, you know, it's commonly thought, blah, 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 blah. But later on in the extract, it goes on to completely dismiss the orthodox thinking it's just quoted. You've got to make sure you read the full thing. Why is all of this important? Well, I'll tell you why, because when we get on to how to structure your answers to this, your very first statement, your very first few lines in answering and evaluating extract A has got to be what the overall argument of extract A is in relation to whatever the question's asking you. All right. So in this instance with 1H, everybody had to start with, well, you know, the overriding argument in extract B, for instance, is that Stalin's industrial achievements were definitely impressive compared to the NEP, but the economy was plagued by problems throughout. That's the overall argument. We've got to start with that first in relation to what the question is. Then we can dig in and have a look at some of the smaller arguments throughout the extract. But we've got to get the gist of it. If you don't get the gist of all three extracts, right, you are really, really not going to advance much beyond level two. Okay, so it's really important. Test yourself. Go and practice. Read historians' articles. Read bits from History Today or things like that. Get used to the academic language that they're using. Look at extracts in your textbook. Practice it. This is just as much, just as important a revision as going through the content is. And maybe I'll do a whole episode on that coming up. So, in a nutshell today, spot the opinion. Spot the fact. Remember, facts are something that we can prove to be true or false. Opinions, though, are subjective views of historians. We need to look out for the kind of language that suggests that they are making an opinion in their answer. We need to work out what's the overriding argument of each of the extracts in turn. All right, I'm going to leave it there. We were a little bit longer today, but it was a lot to explain, really, a lot to explain. Interpretations are the ones that really, I guess, people, you know, scratch their head over. So I'm hoping that these episodes will help you out with that. Right, I'm going to sign off for this afternoon then. I wish you the very best. Go and work hard and diligently, as I'm sure you all are, and take care.